Get to it. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come together as we discuss this topic on repentance and on sin and repeated sins that we may deal with. Please help us to reflect on what we discuss and help it to influence our behavior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so the question that we're going to answer, right, is my repentance genuine if I keep repeating the same sin? Is my repentance genuine if I keep repeating the same sin? What do you guys think of the question? Not even like the not even to answer it, but what do you think about the question?
I think it's a question that probably as Christians we've all kind of wondered or come across before.
For sure, for sure. I would agree with you, Chris. I think most, if not all, Christians have probably had to deal with this question in some way, shape, or form, and kind of had to kind of navigate their way around it as they live their life. Because ultimately, there is generally a lot of repeated sins, right? That we go through, that we have in our Christian lives, and so how do we deal with them? What does that mean for our repentance? Does it mean I'm being genuine? Does it mean that I'm, not taking this seriously? And all the other questions that get come around that, right? So I think it's an important question that we should answer, or at least each one of us needs to kind of get to grips with as we go through our Christian walk, right? So what do you guys think? Do you think repentance can be genuine if you keep re repeating the same sin?
My initial inclination is to say yes, but maybe that's because I feel like I've asked for forgiveness of sins before and have been genuine and then repeated the same sins, as I'm sure a lot of people are, in that same boat as well. So, yeah, that's my inclination.
Okay. Cool. Tyler.
I think if the repentance was genuine and the intention was genuine, then I think if you do repeat a sin, then you just happen to sin again. It doesn't mean that you wasn't sincere in your original repentance.
Okay, cool. All right. Do you think that generally that is the case then? That generally people are, or you can speak for yourself, but do you think generally it is the fact that we are genuine in our repentance and then we just happen to slip up? Or do you think there is something a bit more sinister in what's happening?
I think it's
Maybe.
possible.
Yeah, so.
I think when we get down to it, everyone knows what their weakness is. So like there's sometimes where you generally think, that was a one-off, and sometimes you accidentally slip up again. And then there's some things that it's like an addiction, like you're addicted. And sometimes I think in your heart you want to, you know you're supposed to repent, but in your heart, are you actually doing the steps to actually get through this and get over it to stop doing it again?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, cool. Hasla, what do you think? The question is, do you think your repentance is genuine if you keep repeating the same sins?
Can you come back to me?
Okay, all right. There's a few texts throughout the Bible, right, that talk about the need for holiness. Right, especially we can go into the New Testament. Several texts, there's John 14, 15, which says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There is James 2, 17, which is talking about how if your faith is dead without works, right? So you need the works. If your faith is strong, that's it should be shown in your works. Hebrews 12:14 is talking about how, you know, there needs to be a level of holiness before you to ever see God. Like, you're not going to see God unless you're holy, right? And all of the, and there's several others, you know, you could rinse through the New Testament quite easily, looking at all of the so-called holiness requirements or righteous requirements or just requirements for us to reach salvation, right? And so it's, so we need to repent, essentially. We need to be holy. But if you keep repeating the same sins, at what point is it like, do you need to overcome? Do you need, like, how does this work? Because for me, it feels like the more and more you commit the same sins over and over again, and then you keep going back to repent, you keep going back and you keep sinning and you keep repenting, you keep sinning. Somewhere inside, you have the temptation to think, number one, am I receiving forgiveness anymore? And number two, am I really taking this seriously? Like, is my repentance actually genuine? Am I actually confessing properly? Or is this just a cycle that I'm in where I just sin and ask for repentance, sin, that's forgiveness, sin, that's forgiveness, over and over again, right? So I think the first thing that we need to discuss, and, you know, you guys can question me on this as we get to the conclusion of this question, because during this week I found a little bit of a new thing that I hadn't really thought about properly before. But maybe you can answer this question. What is repentance?
Isn't it admitting your sin, asking God for forgiveness, and then turning away from it?
Okay, asking God for forgiveness and turning away from it, okay? Anyone else? Clarissa, you're about to say something? Maybe?
I was going to say pretty much the same thing, sincerely asking for forgiveness and... yeah, turning away, intending to not do that thing again.
Okay, cool. All right. So what do you think the difference is between repentance and confession? Because what you just described surely could also be described as confession, right? If someone asked you what confession is, you could say, well, sincerely admitting that you were wrong and not trying to do it again. Right. So what is the difference between confession and repentance?
I was going to say it's slightly different in the sense of I can confess doing something, but it doesn't mean I'm sorry I did it.
Okay.
Whereas I feel like repentance is you asked or you did it and you're purposing not to do it again.
Okay, interesting. So you think, so talking about in the biblical context, right, not just general confession. But in a biblical context, do you think confession doesn't also have linked to it the fact that you're sorry that you did it, or you don't think confession is linked to that so much in a Christian context?
In a Christian context?
Or a biblical context?
It will be a biblical context. I think it's definitely linked because it says to confess your sins. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like repentance and confession are two parts of the same sort of process, where the first is the confession, then it's the repentance.
Okay, cool. Hassan?
I know, he literally just said what I was going to say. I think confession is part one of the whole repentance process. So it's confession, then repentance.
Okay, cool. All right, so how you guys have described it is essentially how I used to see it as well, or in certain senses still see it. But I came across this slightly different perspective on what repentance is in relation to what confession is. And it may help us in answering this question in terms of, is my repentance genuine if I keep on repeating the same sins? So if we turn to Luke 15:10 and someone else go to Acts 2:38. And before we read, I'll explain myself. So essentially, when looking at the context in which repentance is shown in the New Testament specifically, it seems like repentance is almost what is described when a sinner or someone who doesn't know God or someone outside of the church, for example, receives the gospel and kind of invites Jesus into their lives, you know, possibly even get baptized, as we'll read. And they kind of had a 180 in terms of the focus of their life. So you've been properly convicted, you repent from your quote-unquote wicked ways, and then you decide, right, I'm going to be a Christian. That is the context in which I see repentance used a lot in the New Testament. Not necessarily for daily reproof of sins or daily confessions or anything like that. More so as I was this way before and now I'm this way, if that makes sense. And these couple of texts will highlight why I say that. And then you guys can let me know what you think. So yeah, if we can read Luke 15:10 and then Acts 2:38. And these are just two examples of many.
Luke 15:10.
Yep.
In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner. Let me read that again. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Great. Right. I think the rest of, I don't know if it's in the next verse, it says, then over, I think, is it 100 or there's a certain number that are righteous, right? So, it says the whole of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. Now, for me, that's describing more than just there was a Christian that fell into sin and then just and confessed their sins, right? That's more describing someone who is living a sinful life and has decided that actually they don't want to live that sinful life anymore. I want to move towards a Christian life. Right, and so it kind of displays more of a total 360 in terms of what they're describing as repentance, rather than just a I was on the Christian life, I fell, but I got up again. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Acts 2:38.
And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Cool. Right. So here we see, again, this idea of repentance linked with the idea of baptism. We see this quite a lot throughout the New Testament. It's not like you get baptized every time you sin, right? You get baptized at a point in which you're saying, I was a sinful person, I was the natural man, as it were, I was in the world, and now I want to move to giving my life to God. Although I may continue to sin, I am now choosing to move from obeying the world to obeying God, right? I want to take on the gospel, right? And so, tell me guys what you think, but whenever I see repentance and this is not generally every time you see it in the New Testament, but generally speaking, when you see the word repentance, it's looking at a total 180 from where you are, right? So even in the Old Testament, it says, you know, repent from your sins, repent from your wicked ways. It's almost like they've been going down this path of terrible things that have been happening. God is kind of saying, look, we need to, that there needs to be a drastic change from where you are, right? What do you guys think?
Okay, say that again.
The If we take look at repentance, right? We described repentance earlier as understanding of your sin and wanting to turn away from it, right? And although I believe that is true in terms of what repentance is, generally speaking, I feel like when the Bible talks about repentance, the context in which it's used is more of like a whole life turnaround. So it's one way I was a sinful man, I was doing my own thing, I was doing whatever, and then I met Christ and I repented and now I'm for Christ. And so even though you may commit certain sins as you go along, and we'll talk about that as we go through the discussion, the repentance is more like a whole 180, a whole turning around of your life, rather than just a repentance from maybe a sin once you're already on that Christian journey. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think about that concept? Because that's a new concept for me.
Okay. I always, well, from my understanding, I always saw repentance as you were doing something, and then now if you wanted to stop it, suddenly you do go and confess what you're doing, and you said, okay, I want to try stop this. Of course, the literal sense would be to, theoretically speaking, would be to do a 180 and like turn away from whatever you were doing. But realistically, of course, some people may slip up and everything and go back. But I think in the literal sense of repentance, it's to turn away from what you were doing.
Okay, cool. Right. So I think we're pretty much on the same path, right? Again, then you may ask, like, what do you do when on your daily sins, for example? Because, you know, even Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, he says, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, right? So ultimately, Jesus understands that there is going to be daily sins. So do you repent for those as well? And I think Tyler mentioned this text earlier, but 1 John 1:9, if someone wants to read that. First John 1:9.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Great, right? So, I mean, we must have heard that text 100 times, right? But essentially, you know, it doesn't say, you know, you repent for your sins there. It uses the words confess, because it almost feels like this is going to be a regular occurrence where you were regularly confessing your sins so that you can, so God can forgive you, right? And so it's almost like repentance is like something that you would do during your baptism process, or if you felt like you were going down a bad road for a while, and then you were like, you know what, I'm changing from this way of living that I was in, and I'm moving closer to Christ, rather than you were already on the Christian journey, very much so, you slipped during these daily sins, right? And, you know, sins can be anything. Things that you confess to God could be much more broad than we may give credit for, you know. It doesn't have to be the stealing, the murdering, the killing, whatever, the, you know, breaking the Ten Commandments, or even like more regular, smaller sins, what we would call smaller sins, like lying or getting angry or, you know, speaking bad language or whatever the case may be, right? It can also be things in our thought patterns, you know, how we may look at someone, how we may think about someone, getting jealous over something that is not ours. And, you know, there's such a breadth of things that can happen within a sin context. You know, there's so much things that we can confess that not all of those things are necessarily going to need to cause a whole repentance. Because a whole repentance is like, I was going down this road, that I was walking down the wrong road, and I need to turn back and go down the right road. When these confessions that is described in 1 John 1:9, more seem like I'm still on the right road, but I kind of slipped up a little bit. So I'm just picking myself up. God is picking me up so I can carry on the right road. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. All right. So, given that maybe then the question should be, because if repentance is a whole 360, right, it's unlikely that you'll be doing a whole 360 in terms of repentance, because the question is my repentance genuine if I keep repeating the same sin? Unlikely that you'll be doing a whole repentance each time you commit the sin, right, whatever that particular sin is. It's more likely that you're confessing it. And so there's two different types of confession and two different types of sin, right? There's one type of confession that is a good type of confession and one type of confession that's dangerous, okay? So what do you guys think is the good type of confession?
Wouldn't it just be a genuine one?
Both the good type of confession in quotations and the dangerous confession are both genuine.
Huh.
They're both in both parts of confession, you feel sorry for what you did, and you don't want to do it anymore. So both are genuine.
So both are the same. And it's the same thinking process, same mindset, same everything.
Think about it in the context of the fact that you're going to be, this is around a repeated sin. So you're confessing a repeated sin. There's two mindsets that you can have while confessing a repeated sin. And Tyler may have touched on this very very slightly early on when we were discussing the question. But there's two different mindsets that you can have while confessing it.
Tyler?
I'm thinking.
Think about the good way. What would be the best way you could confess? We've dealt with it being genuine, that's sure, right? And you're sorry for doing it, right? So, but what else is needed in that confession? And you may even call it repentance.
I'm not gonna lie. The only word that's in my head right now is genuine.
Okay, let me give you guys an example then, right? If you're say you're a father or a mother, right? And your child kept taking cookies out of the cookie jar, right? And you knew that even though you told them not to, they're going to keep doing it. And every time you told them off, they cried and they said they were sorry, and it seemed genuine, right? So, you know, you caught them taking the cookie out of the cookie jar, you caught them, they were sorry, you know, you reprimanded them, you punished them. But so their sorry was genuine, right? They felt bad for what they did, right? But there was two different kind of mindsets that child could have around that going back to the cookie jar, right? What are the two mindsets that they could have?
They can think, you know what? They're going to do it again. Or they're thinking, you know, I'm not going to do this ever again.
Cool. Perfect, right? Those are the two mindsets when you come to confession. And this is where it's dangerous, right? So one way, the quote-unquote good confession is, you know, God, I'm really sorry for doing this. This is what I did, and I'm really sorry for doing it, and I'm guilty, and I need forgiveness. And in your mind, and you're genuinely sorry, right? You're genuinely hurt by it. You have a sorrow for sin. You don't want to do it anymore. You don't want to do it anymore. But the mindset is, I believe I'm not going to do it anymore. From this point forward, I'm confessing like I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't believe I'm going to do it, right? The other mindset, as Tyler just said, is that you could have the sorry for doing it. You're genuinely sorry. You generally want forgiveness. But in the back of your mind, you know you're going back to it. Something about the addiction of the repeated sin has led you to believe that you cannot break it, or it's not broken yet. And so you're confessing, but you haven't quite got to the point where you're like, I'm leaving that completely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah? Cool, all right, cool. You guys got to give me some feedback. There's only a few of you, right? And so that second type of confession is called fatalism. All right, fatalism. And what it means is, although you may be sorry for what you did, although you may not want to do it again, you have surrendered to the power of that sin. You no longer believe you can beat it. You no longer believe that actually you're ever going to get past that, whatever it is. And so although your confession is genuine, it lacks power. Although God may forgive you for that confession, right? There's nothing in your head to tell you that you're not going to do it again. So you most likely you're going to repeat that sin, right? And this is what happens when it builds that type of confession builds stronger as you keep repeating the same sin, right? So that's really something that we need to evaluate as we confess. Do we confess with the idea that we're probably going to do it again? Like, God, I'm really sorry. I really feel bad. I really don't want to do it again, but I'm probably going to do it again. Probably tomorrow. Probably next week. Probably in a minute. You get what I'm saying? And so this is something that plagues us as Christians, right? So those are the two types of confession. Something we need to evaluate, what type of confession we are confessing our sins with, right? Are we confessing our sins with the idea that actually I don't plan to ever go back to that? When I confess, this is it. You know, I may fall again, like in terms of, you know, I may fall again, but I'm not planning to fall again. This is it, right? From this moment, I'm even putting things in place so that I don't do that thing again. Or have you resigned yourself to the fact that you're weak and you're probably going to do it again? And it's a mentality thing of when you're confessing, right? And there's two types of sin, right? So what do you think the two types of sin are?
This is probably incorrect to say it, but I think one of the types of sin is purposeful sin.
Cool. Nail on the head, right? And what's the other type of sin then, if one is purposeful?
I don't say ignorant, but I'm not sure if that's the line we're going with.
It's kind of ignorant, but it's not ignorant. Ignorant would be you didn't know it was wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So what's the other kind of sin where it's like you know something is wrong, but it's not quite purposeful.
Accidental.
I think this is supposed to be the sin of omission or something, isn't it? Like just letting it go. Just letting it go.
Would it be the same as? Let's say you know how Seventh-day Adventists don't eat pork, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you eat pork knowingly that it's pork. And the second one would be, let's say you go to someone's house and then you eat something and then later on they tell you, oh, that was pork.
Okay, not quite. That's more okay. Ignorant, right? That's more the ignorant sin that Tyler was talking about. So ignorant sin is, as you said, you don't know something is the way it is and you do it accidentally, right? So like that's a perfect example. You eat pork not knowing that it was pork, right? And I don't believe God charges you that sin, right? If you ate pork without knowing it was pork, I don't believe God would say, right, that's a sin on your charge because you didn't know, right? All sin for me, I believe, is willful, right? So both conscious and what we're going to call unconscious sin or accidental sin are both willful. And so a good example of this would be getting angry and doing something in anger, right? Purposeful sin would be What do you guys think would be purposeful sin? Give me an example of what a purposeful sin would be.
Me stealing money from somebody.
You stealing money from someone. What would it take for you to steal money from someone?
I need it.
You need it? Right. So then what are we gonna do? Like if you're planning, if you're gonna say, right, I'm gonna steal money from if you're gonna steal money from Daniel, right? What are you what are you thinking now?
I'm thinking, when's the best time? I'm gonna plan it.
Thinking, cool, you're gonna plan
time? Where is he gonna be? How are we gonna get away with it?
Exactly. Mm. How are we gonna get away with how much money does he have that I can take? Where is his at what point am I gonna get it? How, you know, all of this stuff. Essentially, you're gonna plan it. Yeah? Purposeful sin is planned. It's planned for 10 seconds, it's planned for 10 minutes, it's planned for 10 hours, it's planned for 2 months. Whatever the plan is planned, right? You know you're going to do it, you know you want to do it, you plan it and you do it. That's purposeful sin, right? That's what we call willful sin. That's, I'm thinking about doing something, God has told me not to do it, my conscience is coming into play, but I've ignored that and I've done it, right? That's purposeful sin, that's willful sin, right? Accidental sin or unconscious sin or something is something, how can someone explain that? It's not quite ignorant sin, but what is it? What's an example of that?
I've got a very good one for this, guys. So I go see my brethren sometimes, and you guys know that I smoke weed, innit? So I will go through times where I purposely have chosen, I'm not going to do this. I have no intention of doing this. I can be around my friends, and if I say to them, I'm not smoking, they will continue their smoking and I will just not smoke. But there comes a time sometimes where someone just hands me the zoo and I've no plan to smoke. I've no intent to smoke. But because they've given me this thing reactively, I've gone back into my old ways before. That is a thing that I think can go with your example, Reese.
Cool. Very good, right? So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Another example could be like someone getting angry, right? It's a reactive response. And although it comes from a place of sin, so it's still just as sin as the willful sin, and it's still willful in the sense that you wanted to do it, you wanted to get angry, you wanted to react. Same way in Daniel's example of smoking, there's something in him that was react like, you wouldn't react like that if you didn't want to do it, essentially, right? So you reacted, you didn't pre-plan it. It wasn't something that you're like, right, I'm going to this place and I'm going to do that thing. But the situation has now confronted itself, and what you've done is you've gone into it, right? So that being, you've been angry, that might be you saying but foul language, that might be a thought of lust that pops into your head and you've dwelled on it, that might be whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, it's reactive. You've gone into it, right? These are the two types of sins that's happened, right? Generally speaking, repeated sins are willful. Repeated sins are things that you're like, right, yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't do that, but you know what, I kind of want to do it, so I'm gonna do it, right? That is generally the pattern of repeated sins, generally speaking, right? It could be either. But again, this is one is much more dangerous than the other. Willful sinning is much more dangerous than, let's call it unconscious and conscious sinning. Conscious sinning is much more dangerous. Why do you think that is?
Because it requires stubbornness.
It definitely requires stubbornness. What else?
I guess it's what you said earlier about your conscience comes into play and all of that. And then you go against your conscience, which is like the Holy Spirit's leading or something.
100%, right? So that's a big one. Right. If you are consistently planning to go against your conscience, the Holy Spirit's leading, and you know it's wrong and you do it anyway, how much easier is it going to be to do it next time? Cool. Tyler?
I thought it was a question. I'll say it's very easy.
Oh yeah, exactly. Very easy, right? What else is dangerous about that? About doing willful sinning. I know it's wrong and I'm gonna do it anyway.
I think one of the dangers is then you change where your limits lie. Because one day you could willfully say, I'm just gonna punch the wall, and then the next day you're willfully crashing into someone's car. And then, you know, the evolution of sin.
Another great point, right? Sin is not something to mess around with. We've discussed this previously in previous studies. When we look at the Genesis story, right? Sin went from eating a fruit that God told you not to eat, which is bad enough, right? It went from that to one generation went to killing and murder. Right, like sin is that insipid, is that dangerous? So for you to then say, right, I am willfully, and this is for me to say, I am willfully just going to do this thing regardless of the consequences. Let me put it this way, right? Christianity is built on the fact that God hates sin. For you to accept Christianity and be a Christian, you also need to understand that concept. God hates sin, and sin is bad. Right, and we should be in a place where we want to hate sin. That is where we're careering towards, right? The hatred of sin. And although that is a very difficult place to get to, where, you know, all sin you hate, that is what we're careering towards. So if instead of what you're doing is hating sin or trying to hate sin, you are saying, you know, allow hating sin, allow what Jesus done for me on the cross, allow what Christianity stands for, actually, I'm just going to do what I want. This, that mindset is very dangerous to a Christian, extremely dangerous, because that is like, you know, I'm forsaking everything that I believe. You doing something reactively in the moment is bad as sin, just the same, right? Still needs forgiveness, right? But there's something different between reactively doing something. And as Tyler said with stealing Daniel's money, right? I planned it. I worked out when I was going to do it. But then I did it. Then I worked out how to get away with it. Everything was planned. And because of that, sin is so engrossed in your activity that it pushes away all elements of Christianity. And so it's so very dangerous to continue living that way. So coming back to our question, right? Is my repentance genuine with repeated sins? The question we should be asking ourselves, right, is what kind of confession am I doing? Am I confessing in a fatalistic way, or am I confessing in a positive way, let's say? And am I sinning willfully, or am I sinning reactively? Right? Because both, if you're sinning willfully and you're fatalistically asking for confession, there's a slippery slope. And I'm not saying God won't forgive willful sins, because he will. And I'm not saying God won't forgive you if you confess in a fatalistic way, because he very well may do. But what will is more of a psychological thing, where you're less likely to continue on this road of asking for genuine forgiveness. There's one more text for us to go to, and that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, 14. Oh, sorry, it's not actually Hebrews 10, 14. It is Hebrews 6. Sorry, I've lost this text. It is in Hebrews. Let me just find it. Hebrews. sins. Yeah, sorry, Hebrews 6, yeah, 4 to 6. That's where we're at. Cool. Yeah, Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. If we could go there. Someone could read. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6.
4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shed in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted goodness of the word of God and powers and the powers of the coming age. 46, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that.
What do you guys think of that text?
I guess it has a point because knowledge can't be reversed. Once you know something, innit?
Once you know something, you know something. So, let's more explain. What was the text saying?
What was the text again? Sorry.
Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. Especially verse 4, where it continues in 5 and 6. It says, for it is impossible, in the case of those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and have the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding up to contempt.
So basically, to me, that's saying that, look, you know better, you should do better, but if you choose to go down this path, there's no helping you because you're doing this with your own mind now, not in ignorance or out of misunderstanding. So there's no way, there's not really a way back.
Exactly, right? It's kind of deep, right? God is saying, if you have if God has revealed to you a certain level of himself, right? If you've tasted the gospel, if you understood what God was giving you and all the rest of it, and you accepted it, and then you fell away, it's like, how much more could then God show you for you to be saved? And I think there's always more God will work with you on to try and get you there. But ultimately, you know, that's a strong text. And there's one more text actually we should go to, Hebrews 10, 26. If someone could read that. Yeah, this hits it. This hits it nicely. Hebrews 10, 26.
For if we sin willingly, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Cool. What does that say?
That's a madness.
That's a madness, right?
It's essentially saying, I let you say it. I don't want to say it incorrectly.
No, say it.
The way I read it is like, Jesus' sacrifice can't do anything for you if you're continually sinning willfully.
Cool. Don't get me wrong, that's exactly what it's saying. But let's put it in its proper context, right? Or let's get to grips with what the deepness of what this is saying, right? This isn't talking about in one instance someone has sinned willfully, and therefore God isn't going to forgive them. That's not what this is saying, right? This is saying, if you, this is saying, like, this is a pattern, right? It says, for if we go on sinning, right? So this is talking about a period of time. This is now a lifestyle of sinning deliberately, right? So this isn't just one time, you know, someone, you know, I saw a sin, I really wanted to do it and I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. This is not what it's talking about. This is talking about, I live a lifestyle now where I purposefully seek out sin, even though I am a Christian, even though I know the truth, even though I know what Jesus has done on the cross, I know what the ramifications are if I don't accept the gospel and I don't, you know, live up to the knowledge I know. I'm actually living a life of hypocrisy, right? This is what the text is saying. If you're living a life of hypocrisy, if you're living a life of continuously doing things that are wrong, that you know are wrong, right? Essentially, he's saying, then the unpardonable sin is right around the corner. At that point, how are you ever going to pray genuinely for forgiveness? How could your sacrifice ever be genuine? If you're continuously, purposefully saying, right, I'm going to sin now, and I'm looking for it, as Tyler was saying, I'm going to rob Daniel. This is how I'm going to do it. This is when I'm going to do it. This is how much money I'm going to take. This is how I'm going to get away with it. If this is continuously your lifestyle, how could you ever genuinely ask for forgiveness? The answer is you can't. Right? And so the writer of Hebrews is warning us against both, as I said, that confession, that fatalistic confession, that confession that says, you know what, I'm probably going to do it anyway. I do feel bad. I feel sorry for it. I am genuinely sorry, but I'm probably going to do it again. And I'm probably going to do it again tomorrow. Or I'm probably going to do it next week. And that second type of sin, which is like, you know what, I know it's wrong and I'm going to do it anyway. Following those patterns of living a Christian life is so dangerous. Because that end of verse 26 is exactly where we hit. And then you read the text earlier in Hebrews where it says, look, if you've tasted everything that you had to taste and you still fell away, boy, it's ever harder for you to come back to the truth, right? And so, you know, us as Christians to have a bad confession, as I said, a dangerous sin, it puts our salvation in jeopardy for sure. As I said, I'm not saying that God won't forgive. Obviously, God is trying to give you every chance he can get. God wants you in heaven. And I'm not saying God won't forgive, you know, that type of confession or that type of sin, but it does leave you in danger, in big danger. So the last text we're going to go to, sorry, I said the last one was the last text, so there's the last text. The last text is 1 John 1, verse 8. We read verse 9 earlier, but it's just to read verse 8, just to round off the rest of the study, and then we'll close. In fact, if we could read verse 8 and then verse 9 and then verse 10, if we read 8 to 10, I'll round it off nicely.
What was that? First John?
First John 1, 8 to 10.
8. Yeah. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not with in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us for all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
Cool. Right, so in all our discussions, is the problem that we're talking about sin? And given that text, is the problem sin?
That's about lying about it.
Well, in terms of that text specifically, what would be lying about it? What does it say? You know, it says you the truth is not, you've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. What is lying about it?
Is it not being genuine about it?
So, but what do you mean by not being genuine?
A person to someone else.
What's the First John 1 verse 8, what's it saying? Layman's terms, what's it saying?
So it's basically saying if we claim we're not sinners or we don't sin, then we're lying to ourselves.
Cool.
Essentially.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's saying, right? If you say that you don't sin, right, then you're deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself and you're a liar, essentially, right? Either lying to yourself or you're lying to me. Either one, right? Because you're sinning, right? So the problem itself isn't the fact that there's sin in your life, because everyone has sins in their life, right? So this text specifically says, the problem is not the fact that you have sin specifically, because Jesus. And why is the problem not that you have sin?
All men sin.
All men sin, right? And why is that okay?
Because Jesus already paid the price for the sin. So you know you've sinned, you can ask for forgiveness. If you don't think you've sinned, you're not going to ask for that forgiveness.
Thank you, 100%. The problem is not really sin, is because you can ask for forgiveness for the sin. Everyone has sinned, as Daniel said, and Jesus has already paid the price, as Tyler said, right? So the problem isn't the fact that there is sin in your life. When we ask this question about, you know, if I keep repeating sins, is my repentance genuine? The problem isn't the fact that you have sins in your life. The problem is, are you going to do this? When it says, if we confess our sins, that for me is talking about that true confession, right? So, you know, that confession that means, you know, I'm not planning to do this again. In fact, I believe that God, you can actually take this thing away from me. That kind of confession, right? The confession that says, you know what, I'm not planning to do this again. You have the power to take the sin away from me. I am leaving this thing, right? And although you may do it again, that's not really your problem. Your problem is not whether you do it again or not. Your problem is the mindset while you're confessing. Is the fact that God has the power to take that thing away from me. If you don't confess like that, then the problem is the likely, if you don't believe that there is power to do anything, then there won't be power to do anything. And you're likely going to go back to the sin, right? And secondly,
I think also.
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, Reese, I think also on that you have a good point, because if you're praying and you're thinking you're still going back to this and there's no change in your mindset, it's like when you're praying, you're trying to hide something from God. So you've already kind of messed up. You don't pray with the actual full belief in Him. You don't pray with the... Oh, there's a word for it. I don't know if it's confidence, but you know what I mean? You can pray with an energy where you're like, I have full confidence in God to do something, and then you can pray half-heartedly, I guess. And when you get into that, your prayers, I guess that's why He says what He says in His word, isn't it?
For sure, right? 100%, Daniel. Because there's no point actually asking for forgiveness because part of the forgiveness process is not just the fact that He's covered your sins. I mean, that is definitely the large chunk of it. But it's also the fact that He has the power to take that sin away from you. Otherwise, you're going to do it and you're going to have the sin back. So although that may happen, the point is the faith that God has the power to defeat sin. Otherwise, the forgiveness, that's why the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ needs to be both together. There's no point just having the death alone. You need the death and the resurrection. You need the forgiveness of sin and the power over sin, right? You need the forgiveness and to conquer, right? But there's no way you're going to do that if you believe that sin has beat you. If you believe sin has beat you, then there's no way you're going to claim the power that God has already defeated sin. Right? And so that's a big chunk of it, right? That's your confession. When it says, if we confess, that's a big thing, right? But also, how sin sits with you, right? Every person sins, as this says. Even verse 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, because God has said that everyone sins. And his word is not in us, right? So it's also, but it's how sin sits with us, right? If sin sits in your life as a purposeful thing that you're always going to do, you always want to do, and you're never resisting it, right? You're planning it, you're doing it. You're planning it, you're doing it, right? If that's how sin sits in your life, then there's a problem, right? If there's no resist, if there's just, look, I'm just on this journey. It's just a flow from thought to action, right? It's just a flow. There's a problem. And so, you know, and that problem can sometimes come from how we've confessed as well, right? And so how sin sits with your life, if it's that accidental, everyone sins, that accidental, you know, I just got angry and I'm upset with myself. I got angry and I've got a problem and God needs to sort that problem, but I got angry. That's different from I'm planning to get angry. I'm planning to mess up this person. I'm planning to X, Y, Z. There's a different mindset with those two things, right? And those are two things that we really need to pay attention to watch out for, and to pray that God kind of takes those things away from our lives, right? Is there any other points before we close? No? Was the question answered, generally speaking? Yes? Okay. All right. I'm going to take your silence as a yes. Clarissa, do you want to pray to close, please?
Wait. What was the answer for the question?
I said, did you... what was the answer to the question?
So is my repentance not genuine if I keep repeating the same sin?
Right. The answer to the question is... the answer to the question is, what type of sin are you committing? It's to evaluate, what type of sin are you committing? Are you committing purposeful sin, or are you committing accidental sin? And what kind of confession are you making? Are you making confession to and believing that you're not going to do it again? Or are you making confession resigning to the fact that you're going to commit it again? And those two things will not, you know, you may still be genuine in your repentance, but you may still be genuine, but are you on dangerous ground? Because that's really what the question is. Am I going to reach salvation if I keep repenting like this and I keep sinning, right? That's really the question. Can I still go to heaven? And those two, understanding those two things, how your confession is and how you're sinning, are two things that will leave you to, that will help you answer the question of, are you on dangerous ground or not? Does something need to change? And so, yeah, if that helps answer the question. I don't know, Daniel, if you're going to say something extra. No. Okay. Does that help? Tyler, you good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. All right. Clarissa, go ahead.
Cool. So, dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for being with us through this week and for allowing us all to see and experience another Sabbath. I thank you for allowing us to have this time to still gather and have this Bible study. And I pray that you be with all of the people on this call and that you be with us as we try to walk closer with you and to become more like you as well. I pray that we genuinely try to turn away from our sins, knowing that you can help us to do so, and that we know that all things are possible if we believe in you and we trust in you and we follow your way. Please continue to be with us throughout the rest of this Sabbath and in a few hours' time as we enter the new week as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.